Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Here we are once again on the night shift. I thought maybe last time would be our last time visiting our friends over on the overnights, but I guess that's not true. Today we have five more creepy stories from the night shift that'll freak you out. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a night shift story or something completely different, be sure to submit that at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help this channel go. Now, without any more further hesitation, let's get into these creepy night shift stories. I've been working the night shift for as long as I can remember. I do security for older, abandoned places. Usually it's nothing too crazy. Sometimes I'll have to run off a homeless person or two, but that's generally about it. That was until the summer of 2014. I live in Texas. We don't generally put up with anyone's antics. There's a reason they tell you don't mess with Texas. Anyway, I say this to tell you, I take that sort of thing to heart in many ways. It is a part of my own personality. I don't scare easily, and I sure as hell don't back down. Things in my story start off rather subtly. The odd sound here and a weird movement there. It was nothing crazy at first, and considering I had been on my job for a good 5 years at this point, I thought maybe someone was messing with me or it was just rodents or something like that. It was probably about mid-July when things began to really escalate. I was walking around this old office building. The places I watch over were fairly large, and so I didn't often get bored, as while I would take things at my own pace, the places were large enough that truly searching them meant the whole night was over before I knew it. So, as I said, I was waltzing my way through the building, scanning around with my flashlight and half zoning out when I heard a noise in a room across the hall. The noise was a grinding noise, like when you drag those chairs across the floor in a classroom. You probably know the ones. You have those weird feet, and they make a grating and aggravating noise. Well, I entered the room the sound came from, and as I did, I noticed the sound is extremely easy to hear at this point. I announced myself thinking someone was being stupid or maybe just wanting to be caught or something. Still, the noise continues and, at this point, it's constant back and forth like someone is running the feet of the chair. Anyway, I was annoyed, and wanting the noise to stop, so I rushed around the corner of some cubicles and yelled, "Whoever is back there needs to leave." As I round the corner, however, the noise stops, and the chair is just sitting there, abandoned. Thinking someone went around the other side, as that was the only way out, I went over there. I try to cut them off and get to the door. As I'm rounding the corner, I hear a loud slam. I turn around and realize the chair had been thrown at me, and just missed my head. Pissed off at this point and a bit confused, I searched the room high and low. I found no one, nowhere. I checked every nook and every cranny, and no one left back out the door. I don't know what that was. I know this because the door is rather heavy and old, so it creaks and makes a fair amount of noise. While this was strange, I simply wrote up a report and went on about my night. I didn't have much of an explanation. It certainly was odd, but I've always been a super rational individual, and I'm not one to overthink these things. I wasn't sure how to get out of the room, but in my head, the only thought was someone had to have obviously found a way out. I hadn't considered anything paranormal. The rest of the night went by fairly uneventfully, and I went home soon after. A couple of weeks later, near the beginning of August, I was working some overtime, a rare occurrence, when I heard distinct and heavy footsteps down the hallway. I followed these footsteps to the end of the hallway when suddenly they were behind me and on the other end of the hallway. A tad thrown by this, I decided to follow the footsteps back when it happened again. At this point, I believed maybe a couple of homeless people or even some kids were messing around with me, and thought it would be funny to make loud noises down on each end of the hall. Again, I'm a rational individual, so if it could be explained in some rational way in my head, it was as good as solved. I walk toward the end of the hallway and laugh and call out. I tell the people messing with me that I'll let them off if they just get out of here, as they were doing was actually amusing me and livened up my night a bit. There's silence for a moment, and I'm about to walk off when I hear this ungodly yelling. It sounds inhuman, and is so loud I feel myself jump out of my skin for a moment before I bring myself down to reality. This is when I hear a sudden barrage of steps coming my way loudly and quickly. I turn and rush down the hallway, and once again, the ungodly call yells at me again. This time, I swear I hear my name in the sound. Deciding I might be freaking out over nothing, I pause for a brief rest and try to rationally decipher in my mind what had just happened. The noise had faded and it appears I'm safe at the moment, so after a good 10 to 15 minutes of talking myself down, I laugh at myself and decide it is time to go back and check things out. I head back down the hallway slowly and scan things. The air has a heaviness to it, and I feel myself getting a headache as I push further down the hall. There's an almost humming sound going through my head now, and I believe I'm beginning to see something. I see the light shifting in the halls, and that's confusing, and there hasn't been any power to these buildings for a while. Then, it's dark again, and I swear I can hear my name again. It's being whispered, and while definitely shaken by everything, I shout angrily that whoever is messing with me needs to leave now. See, I might be afraid, but there is a limit at which point I go from being scared to pissed off. If someone was somehow pulling a prank, something I was beginning to believe less and less as things happened, I was fed up with it, and they needed to leave. Then, all at once, the air grew lighter again, and the humming and whisper simply just stopped. I filed a report. I'll admit, I was pretty non-specific as to what I witnessed, as I didn't know for sure myself what was happening, and I didn't want to put my job in jeopardy by sounding like a loon. The remainder of the night was quiet, and I didn't have any problems again until a couple of months later in early October. It was around the first or second of the month when I came into work in a fairly great mood. I'd met someone over the past couple of months and she was a wonderful woman. We're married now. Excited to go see her after my shift, I was pretty light on my feet and chipper in my mood as I walked the halls of the buildings. That is when I heard the all-too-familiar noise. It was an inhuman screaming, almost a growling sound. Confused and annoyed at this point, I headed through the building I was in as swiftly as possible. Nothing was going to ruin my mood tonight, I thought to myself. As I'm searching, I hear the sound again, but this time it resonates through the hallway toward me. Whatever was doing this was loud enough I could hear it through the entire building. Deciding I should seriously look into this, I head a bit more quickly, peeking around corners and searching places I don't normally check. I'm not finding anything when I hear a very distinct screaming. It sounds like a woman. I head toward the sound of that screaming, and that's when I find a trail of blood. I call the cops immediately as I head inside. I'm trying to explain everything I hear to them, but that's when I find a woman, or what's left of her, ripped into and bleeding all over the place. I'm in shock as I'm explaining to the 911 dispatcher where I'm at and what I am seeing. That's when I hear the growl again, and I can feel my body being overtaken by goosebumps. I've never, in my entire life, felt chills like this. There's a scratching sound coming from down the hall, and I'm asking this poor woman who clearly can't say anything, what the hell is going on? She is just coughing up blood and bleeding all over the place. As I continue to hear this thing come down the hall, I am freaking out. And that's when I see the flashing lights from outside. I scream with all my lungs, "Help! Help! We're in here!" Soon after that, the air grew less heavy again and the paramedics and cops arrived. I'm crying, holding this poor woman who looks like she'd been mauled by a bear or something. I'm confused and don't really know how to explain that. I don't know how to explain what I had heard or how this woman was even here, bleeding to death in my arms. I'm taken out, the woman is taken too, and I try my best to explain what I knew. The woman died from the wound she had and loss of blood. I don't know how to explain this thing that is down there, but I was moved after some time off to a single building to watch, in a much more populated area. I'm fairly certain the police seemed to think the woman was mauled by a rabid dog or something. That was the word anyway. I, however, do not believe for a second that this poor woman died at the hands of an animal. At least, not some rabid dog. There was something in that place, and I was never more sure of this fact until that night. I still work nights now, and thankfully things are more peaceful. I've never gone back to those buildings, and I don't ever plan to. This is the one time in my life I can say I don't wish to know what was hiding in those buildings, and I don't wish to know the explanation behind what happened. Whatever it was, I don't believe it was natural or human. Thanks for reading my story. You can call me Maddie, as I won't share my real name. I was a 911 dispatch worker on a night shift for my area. I won't share my area as I don't feel comfortable doing so. That said, anyone working 911 dispatch on any shift can tell you it's a tough job. It's very mentally and emotionally taxing, as it's your responsibility to make sure someone get the help they need as soon as possible. But some of the things you hear on the other end of the line, well, they're just horrific. We go through a fair amount of training to deal with these things, and there's always an open door if we need more help dealing with things mentally or emotionally with the trials of the job at hand. Anyway, my story revolves around several strange calls I got over the course of several nights and the strange occurrences that happened soon after. The first night I got one of these calls was in December. It was during most kids' holiday. One of the first things we ask people to give us when we receive a call is the address that they are at. It's a vitally important bit of information, as unless you are calling from a landline, we don't usually know the specific address you are calling from. This is changing as tech changes, but at the time I was doing this, if you were calling from a cell phone, we could trace within the general area in most cases, but we often couldn't get an exact address. Also, depending on how many cell towers were in the area, if you're in a rural area and you just have poor signal, it can make our job that much harder. Anyway, I get a call and it's a man who simply says, "Help," in a groggy sounding voice, and the line just dies after that. As I said before, if it's a landline, we'd have an address immediately, but this is what makes the call stranger. I have no information appearing at all as to the location of this call. There's generally some form of information, but I can't get anything off of this. Thrown off by this, I inform my supervisor of what just happened. We talk for quite a bit, and she tells me she will look into it if I get another call like this, and just to let her know if it happens again. I'm sure she was worried. Maybe there was something wrong with the system or my equipment. I continue through the night and everything is working smoothly, it seems. At this point, that one strange call has been pushed to the back of my mind and was almost forgotten. At about 6 in the morning, I'm ready to head home. That's when I get the last call of my night. It's that same groggy voice, and it simply says, "Help," before hanging up. Once again, there's no caller information or anything to work with. I talk to my supervisor, who tells me to get home and get some rest, and she'll look into the issue more thoroughly. I go home and crash immediately. The next night, I'm back at it again. I ask my supervisor if she ever figured out what was going on with those calls. She explained that she hadn't, but once again, if I got another one, just signal her and she'd come and check it out. I believe she figured it was a prank of some kind, but she wasn't allowed to voice it out loud as we were supposed to take every call seriously, and she seemed to be regardless of what she might have been thinking. It's about 11 at night, and when I get another call, and judging from the lack of data on my computer, I know immediately it's the guy. I signal for my supervisor, who quickly rushes over and answers the call herself. This time, there is nothing on the other end. No voice. Just breathing. The line then hangs up. Still, there is no information at all. Weirded out, my supervisor has me work on a different computer and system just to see if that changes anything, or if somehow our own equipment is glitching. It's 2 in the morning, and when we got another call from this man. Once again, there's no information. My supervisor tries to inform whoever is on the other end that if this is a prank call, they will be charged. There is silence, and the line hangs up again. My supervisor is equal parts confused and also angry, and I'm just at a loss. That said, the remainder of the year goes by without any more calls. It's shortly after New Year's when we get the mysterious call again. I answer and signal for my supervisor. The voice on the other end sounds like some groggy man, the same one from before, and he simply says, "Why didn't you help me?" This time, the caller ID turns up, and the call, it was coming from inside our own building. I remember the shock on my supervisor's face, and I remember being completely confused. My supervisor informs me she is going to search the building and ask that I keep doing my job. I agree to do so, but inside I just have this bad feeling. Nothing is right about these calls. I reluctantly get back to work and try not to overthink the calls I got. It's about 4 in the morning when I receive another call. It, once again, is coming from the building. It's the man, but he sounds happier. The words he says next put chills down my spine. "She's mine now." The line hangs up. It is around this time I notice my supervisor hasn't responded to my signaling and haven't seen her since she was going to search the building. Trying to be rational and assuming she's probably talking with police or trying to get things handled elsewhere in the building, I try to continue my job till my shift ends. The second I'm off shift, I see the daytime supervisor and I ask him if he's seen or heard from the night shift supervisor. He said no, and I began to get this sinking feeling. I ask him to search the building for her, as the last that I'd heard from her, she was looking into a strange calls we were getting from the building itself. He said sure thing, and I made him swear he'd search the building. I then went home and tried to get some sleep. It was shortly after I got home that I got a call from the daytime supervisor. He informed me that he'd found the night shift supervisor hanging in the basement level of the building. It appeared to be a suicide. I remember being freaked out and trying to explain that there was no way it was a suicide. There was no way. I remember being questioned about everything that had happened, and I remember the only answer I was ever given after it was all said and done was that my supervisor's death was a suicide. It was ruled a suicide and everything pointed to a suicide. I still don't believe it was a suicide, and for a few months after this took place, I'd get calls at varying times of the night on my personal cell, when off duty with that man's voice. He'd just laugh, every time, and that laugh is etched into my memory eternally. I quit my job and moved a few months later. I no longer work in any sort of high-stress job. In fact, I work from home now. I haven't received another call since moving. I'm a nighttime security guy who watches over a business. I won't identify the business or my employers, as to do so would result in the loss of my job. Anyway, I'll keep this as brief as possible. My job really isn't that hard. I basically stare at cameras, and if anything seems off, I check the area. It's really that simple, but the nature of where I work makes it very important. So, I've been at this place for 15 years now, and around my 5th year is when things got really odd. I'm not sure what changed, to be honest. There's no dark history behind the land or the buildings I work in or anything that should make it obvious things would happen. Still, I was working on a Saturday night roughly 10 years ago when the first of the activity started. It wasn't much. I was working in an office, examining different areas when I saw a door open. It kind of just cracked open like someone had turned the latch and lightly pushed the door ajar. I watched closely as the door shut again, and I saw no one. Fearing a security breach of some sort, I made note of the room and number and floor and headed to check it out. When I arrived, I found the door hover open. I say hovering open as the door will close if you don't hold it open. It's made to do so, and also to lock behind you as it shuts. I called out, asking if anyone was there, and stated my name and job to them. I received no response, and so I took my flashlight and headed inside the door. Turning the lights on, I didn't see anything out of the ordinary. The door shut normally behind me, and it didn't seem like anything was propping the door open or that anything in the room had even been touched. After thoroughly searching the room and then testing the door several times, I went back to my security room at a loss for what had happened. I wrote a report and noted it. I didn't find anyone or anything that would have caused the strange happenings. A week goes by and it's another Saturday night. It's probably about 1 in the morning when I notice someone running through the hallways. I follow them in the cameras until I notice they are headed my way. Right about the time they hit the camera outside my room, there is a power surge, quickly followed by a pounding on the door. The surge ended, and no one is on any of my cameras. I look outside immediately and search up and down the hallways. I found no one around, though. At about 3 in the morning, I head back into my security room. I begin writing up another report and somewhat worried my supervisor is going to think I'm some sort of nut with the reports I'm writing. The remainder of the night is fairly relaxed. I file my report and go home for much-needed sleep. About 3 months later, possibly, I'm chilling and doing my job when I hear giggling from outside my door. Okay, I think. Strange, but nothing life-threatening. So I check my cameras. Once again, there doesn't appear to be anyone around, but I can very clearly hear distinct giggling, and I could still hear it as if it's right there. Deciding I'd be better just to check and open the door and look around, I can still hear the giggling, but now it's further down the hall. I walk forward and check the corners before proceeding onward. Every time I seem to turn a corner, the giggling is magically on the other end of the hallway. This is weird, but again, I don't feel threatened and I need some entertainment, so I decide to keep following the giggling. I spend the next hour following the sound in circles and all over different floors. Eventually, it stops. I find myself once again standing in front of the security room. I head inside and check the footage, but it just shows me walking around and looking as though I'm doing my rounds. As such, I decide not to waste my time with the report as nothing weird was caught on camera. These are just a few experiences I've had while on the job. There are plenty of other strange happenings, and they still happen today. I'm not sure what is wandering our facility, but I'm not sure it can be naturally explained, and I do not believe that it is in any way threatening. I've actually grown to somewhat fond of our games of cat and mouse. It makes my shift a lot more exciting, and I think it's kind of fun to investigate the odd sounds and weird happenings around the place at night. Who knows? Maybe one night, I'll finally see something that explains everything happening. But if I never do, I'll be happy knowing I've made an unseen friend, and we've had many fun night hanging out in a way. My name is Ricky, and I'm a carny. It's a life of travel, and a life I've always loved. Still, nights have another aura about them. Depending on the location, things can get weird, and while my life is generally weird, there are some places I always dread going. My story takes place in the Midwest, a truly scary place indeed. It was fair time, and we would often spend a week here and go and spend another week there. These sorts of things are huge events, and I'm grateful to be able to bring joy to the kids and families who enjoy the rides we build and break down so often. All that aside, this place was something else. It wasn't subtle about it either. The very first night of the fair, and I'm working the Ferris wheel, when I hear this loud screaming. I see some of our crew rush over and check on the screaming. It isn't long before we all understand why the screaming happened. there's a dead kid in the House of Mirrors, heart ripped from their body in big old bloody footprints that seem to lead to the mirrors, then simply vanish. Needless to say, the fair was shut down quickly the remainder of the night, and the police were very intensely questioning all of us who worked the fair. Not a great opening night to the fair, to say the least. Well, we answer their questions and explain how we are just perplexed as they are. The smug nature of the local police doesn't help the situation either. They are convinced one of our own murdered the kid, and we have every moment now to fess up. After much arguing and no way to prove any of us had anything to do with the murder of this poor child, we are basically blamed for everything by the police in the town. Needless to say, we weren't extremely busy that week. In fact, all the business we got seemed to be from edgy teens who thought going to the murder fair would be exciting. I was messed up, but business is business, and we took what we could get, and all things considered, it was pretty much okay. It was the final night of the quote-unquote murder fair, as we were now dubbed, when some of the teens went into the Hall of Mirrors. There was laughter and shouting which drew our attention at first. I had someone take over my Ferris wheel work, not that anyone was on the thing at the time anyway, and I went into the Hall of Mirrors just to be sure that everything was fine. I just knew they weren't going to be fine. A few seconds after entering, I hear this screaming, and that's when I see the teens come stampeding out. I ask them if they're alright, and they're shaking and saying no. I ask them what happened, and they tell me they saw this female clown inside one of the mirrors. She just stared at them, smiling. The kids were very descriptive about this, and mentioned how her teeth were sharp and covered in blood. I smiled and asked them who came up with the joke. The looks on their faces said it wasn't a joke. I told them I'd go in and check it out, and to stay out of the Hall of Mirrors in the future. I looked high and low and didn't find anything at first. It was about the time I decided to head back that I was confronted with the most grotesque and freaky looking clown I've ever seen in my entire life. I know how crazy it sounds, and all I could say is I literally peed myself and thought I was going to die. There was this 6 or 7 foot female clown with a big grin on her face, and a large, what looked like, knife or something in her hand. She just kept laughing at me before turning and walking off. I was thoroughly confused, and as I attempted to follow her, she turned the corner. The problem being, that corner led to a mirror. I looked in the mirror and saw no one. Freaked out, I marked the mirror before leaving the halls completely. I remember marking a big X on the thing and heading out to talk to the other carnies. Everyone asked if I was okay, and I just told them no, and that in the morning we need to take the mirror I marked out and destroy the thing and replace the mirror in the next town. I wasn't asked much about it after that, and the first thing we did that morning was destroy the mirror. The next town we hit went smoothly, though word had gotten around about the murder fair, and we did have fewer children present. Our final stop in the Midwest was where things came to a head, so to speak. The business was booming and things were going well. We were having record sales and attendance as people have moved past the whole murder fair being scary and moved into a fascination with the idea. Rumors about the kid who never made it out, and while it was no doubt really messed up, it was the citizens who did this, not us. We didn't market our fair as such. To be honest, we had hoped people would just forget about it. That wasn't going to happen now though, and it was less likely to happen after this night I'm about to speak of. A kid went into the Hall of Mirrors alone. It wasn't long before his mom flipped out, understandably so, and began screaming at us that her son went in, but he hadn't come out in 15 minutes. It got to the point to where she was harassing other customers. In an attempt to calm the woman, I offered to go with her to look for her son. I explained the only ways out were watch closely, and I'd walk with her and we'd finally probably find her lost son. This wound up being a mistake. Her son wasn't lost, the kid was clearly missing, and how that was so much a mystery as the fact that several people had been in and out of the place and didn't notice a thing. Kids don't just vanish. The cops were called and again we were questioned. We were all but run out of town after that. A few years after this all happened and once things settled down a bit, we went ahead and attempted to run a carnival around the area again. We avoided certain towns, but we were welcomed in the ones we went to. We completely abandoned having a House of Mirrors, and we never had a problem after that. I don't know what happened to make that House of Mirrors how it was. Perhaps we were cursed. I'm honestly not sure, but we sold that section of our fair to a private purchaser who thought its history was odd and curious. I sometimes wonder what they use it for if that clown still roams its halls. I'm a private eye, and as such I work a lot of late night shifts. People sin the most at night, I always say. It's easier to catch most off guard than to, in my opinion. Now, my work typically takes me all over, but much of my work involves catching cheaters in the act. The kind of thing is generally easy to do and kind of boring. So, to put it frankly, I was more than a little excited when I was asked to look for someone's missing daughter. I was told to be discreet and I was paid up front. I didn't even have to ask, and that's something I generally have to fight with people. Usually, I ask for half immediately to pay the bills and half when the jobs are done. So I guess my alarm bell should have gone off when the client paid all of it up front, no questions asked. Still, I'll admit, I was so relieved by how prompt and upfront they were about the cost that I wasn't about to argue, and I made their case my priority. I was told that the client believed their daughter may have run away. Still, the city is a dangerous place to be running free for anyone, let alone a kid. The girl was supposedly 15, and I figured I'd start my search asking around the city through my contacts if they seen the girl. I got a big fat no from most of my contacts. But then I got a message about a girl that had been seen matching this girl's description 30 miles outside of the city. This had me concerned, and after doing some digging, I was eventually led to a farm. Now, I went here after receiving a tip about the girl. Looking back now, though, I wish I hadn't gone there at all. When I first inspected the place, it was by daylight. There were all the usual and expected private property signs, and after thinking on it, I decided I was going to approach the owners of the farm. Part of me didn't want to, but I was a smooth enough talker. I mainly wanted to get a vibe of the place anyway. I could have done this on my own, under cover of darkness, but I wanted to make the owners feel comfortable, and no matter the story they gave me, I was going to check the place out anyway later on. I figured, if nothing else, I'd get an idea of the lay of the land. So cautiously I announced myself, and that's when a tall man approached me. He looked to be 6'4 and of stout build. The man spoke to me in a deep voice and basically asked what the hell I was doing near the farm. I explained I was looking for someone and I was wondering if they'd seen her around. After showing a photo of the girl, I got a very firm no. I asked if anyone else lived on the farm and perhaps I could show them the photo. After a very tense silence, the man opened the gate and insisted I come in. I cautiously walked ahead of this guy, being certain I was going to be murdered and never heard from again. As I walked through, I examined the area. It was pretty open, but there was something that caught my attention. It looked like a barn off in the distance. I diverted my attention straight ahead once more to see an old house. We'd walked some distance when two women come out. One was a heavier set one, and the other was quite the opposite. I have nothing against anyone who's overweight, as I have a bit of a belly myself. But the stark contrast was just something I noticed. A shorter man came out and greeted me and asked what it was I needed. I explained to the man I'd been looking for a young girl that had recently been near the area, and I was wondering if they had seen her. The man took a close look at the photo and said he hadn't, that he was often busy working the farm, at which point he'd handed the photo to his wife. She shook her head before turning to their daughter and asked if she had seen the girl. She looked closely and shook her head, saying she hadn't, but she'd keep an eye out in case anything was happening around the farm. I then took the photo and told the family thank you, and said I'd be on my way. I even gave them a card to call in the event they saw her. I soon left the farm, escorted by my giant friend on the way out. I quickly drove away after that, but not too far, as I basically took a nap in my car and waited for the night to fall. It wasn't long before my alarm went off and I realized it was 9 at night. I slowly drove my car toward the farm and drove by it as I looked for a decent area to ditch my car. When I found one, I parked my car, shut it off, and ran back to the farm. The vibe of the place was so much different at night. I was sure that this was part of my imagination and the creepy look of the place at night was just me being nervous. Still, I pressed forward, hopping the fence as I did, and slowly working my way toward the house. There were no lights on, and all appeared silent when I approached. I peeked inside the windows and realized there was no activity, and so I looked around the area. Finding nothing in the yard, I examined a nearby shed. At first, all seemed well. But as I dug further, I noticed some photos. The photos were in a bag titled Family. Looking through them, they seemed innocent enough. That said, something didn't sit entirely right with me. The photos were all of women who looked to be in their teens, smiles on their faces, and wearing a strange gown made out of burlap sack. On top of that, the smiles they wore didn't seem entirely genuine. It looked more than a little forced. Examining these photos just showing the girls hanging out and doing farm work and eating watermelon, I attempted to make a call out to the contact after taking a photo of the photos. I was hoping to see if any of these girls were missing. Naturally, I had no signal out there though, and so I left the shed quietly and headed down the lane toward the fence and back to my car. Once there, I sent a text to one of my friends and asked about these girls. The person said they'd do some digging and get back to me, so I waited for a bit and eventually was told none of them had been missing. Confused, I told them thank you and decided I'd get something to eat and get some sleep as daylight was fast approaching and I wouldn't be able to get anything done then. The day came and went, and I was awoken by my alarm at about 7. There was still light out, but I wanted to get some food in me and get ready for a second night out, searching the premises. At 10, I headed back onto the farm. Once I had finished eating, and it was about 9, I had headed back to my hiding spot and waited. At 10, I headed back onto the farm. I was quiet, and I once again checked the house and made sure there was no activity. After I realized everything was quiet, I decided I wanted to check the barn in the distance. The area was open, and I couldn't help but feel afraid that someone would see me as I approached the barn itself. That was the least of my worries, though, as I would soon realize upon approaching the barn was lit up. There were chains all over the doors, and as I peeked through the slit in the doors, I could see another door, partially covered by hay with a padlock and something else on it. Listening more closely now, I could hear screams. Screams for help. I immediately inspected the outside of the barn and kept a close eye on things as I heard movement inside the barn. Listening more closely from the back of the barn, I could hear chanting. I didn't understand the language, but I knew someone was in there. Knowing I wouldn't have signal and decided it's best to report things to police from here, I made my way back across the field. But midway across the field, I heard a gunshot and felt a great deal of pain in my right arm. I couldn't help but cry out in pain as it was so sudden and immense. I looked closely at my arm and kept my head quite low this time as I did so. I heard another shot fire off and I felt a bullet whiz through my hair and nearly miss my skull. I then heard an all too familiar loud voice shouting expletives and telling me I'm trespassing on private property. Out of options and unsure what to do, I called out stating who I was and informing them that if I wasn't out here in the next few minutes, the police would be raiding the place. This was a desperate lie, and the reality sank in all too quickly that I might not make it out of this place alive when the voice came back laughing and telling me they enjoyed the taste of bacon. It was at this moment I knew I was out of options and was screwed if I didn't start moving, and fast. I got up and ran, keeping no straight lines or particular patterns. I kept thinking I'd likely be dead any second, but as I made it to the fence and threw myself over, there wasn't another shot fired at all. Perhaps he bought my bluff. Perhaps not, but I didn't wait around to find out as I was desperately hobbled to the hiding spot my car was in before driving as best as I could to the nearest gas station and calling 911. I explained the situation and who I was, and they mentioned that they would have authorities out there immediately. I told them I'd come out once I saw the lights, and in the meantime, I'd be in a spot near the farm. I told the authorities that they should be careful. I told them that they're very dangerous. I told them to bring guns as these people didn't seem like they cared at all whether the cops showed or not. It wasn't long before I was back at my spot and the police were already on the scene. I was checked out by a paramedic and questioned. I told them I was fine, but I wanted to be sure the girl I was looking for wasn't there. The police spent the remainder of the night searching the farm, only to find it abandoned. The family wasn't there, and upon breaking the padlock on the barn door, what they found inside were crazy. They found a bunch of photos, but no bodies. The entire area was searched thoroughly, and the clothes of the girl I was searching for were found in the house, but there was no sign of the girl outside of this or the family. It looked like the family had been keeping many girls underneath the farm, but no one ever found them. Some skeletons were found on the property later on, but I never found the girl. I returned the payment I received from the family to them, but they told me to keep it anyway as a thanks for at least finding where she was. To my knowledge, this family hasn't seen or heard from her since. Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright unexplainable night shift stories. I worked the night shift for quite a long time before I started doing this whole YouTube thing. And honestly, I saw a few weird and strange things on the shift, but nothing like these people. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button, turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to do so by going to swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Now, if you made it to the very end of this video, be sure to comment the code word jumping astronaut to let me know you made it to the end and to confuse everybody in the chat below. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.